two different members, okay? All righty. We'll call to order the Town of Curie Beach Historical Preservation Commission for Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. First item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So move.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Adoption of the minutes is the second item. Just want to take a second and look through the minutes from our, I guess, January 7th, 2025 meeting.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is public comment. We do have a later quasi-judicial hearing, so this would be something if anybody has anything different from what we're going to be doing in the next item. We don't have anybody online? I guess
yes,
we don't.
Sir.
All right, excellent. Okay, we'll close the public comment part of the agenda, and that brings us to number five, which is our quasi-judicial hearing certificate of appropriateness submitted by Sombra Properties, LLC. So I guess we'll start with this, with the order of business. Let me go ahead and do a reading of the proper language for this particular quasi-judicial hearing. This is a hearing before the Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission under the Town of Curie Beach Code of Ordinance 15-01-080.C. On the application for a certificate of appropriateness or COA filed by Sombra Properties LLC on the behalf of Aaron Orlando for property located at 125 South 3rd Avenue, Curie Beach, North Carolina, and with the within the Downtown Preservation Overlay District. The application seeks a COA for the construction of a residential structure, referred to as the project. We do have instructions for commission members that I will go through. There's four instructions, and then I'll turn it over to our attorney. First instruction, in making factual determinations, commission members may only consider competent material and substantial evidence from parties participating in the hearing. Number two is non-expert opinion testimony, including opinions related to diminution of property values and traffic safety issues, may not be considered in making findings of fact. Number three, the commission shall make findings of fact based upon the design standards for the Curie Beach Downtown Preservation District, which referred to as design standards, and the review criteria set forth in KBC 15.08.120.K. Under KBC code 15.08.120.J.4, the commission's findings shall indicate the extent to which the proposed exterior features of the project are, under the design standards, compatible and harmonious with the other exterior features within the district in terms of scale and design. Based upon its findings, the commission shall, in open session, vote to approve with conditions, or deny the application. Are there any questions regarding the instructions from the commission members?
No, sir.
No? Okay, I'll turn it over to our attorney, Mr. Eldridge.
Good evening, commission members. It's been a while since we've had a COA hearing, and there's some new faces on the board, so I thought I'd briefly go through the design standards and the review criteria that you'll be using tonight. You can read along with me if you want. I'm starting at the bottom of page one, which automatically leads me to page two. Under the general standards, rule section A, the erection, alteration, restoration, or relocation of any exterior feature, we're talking about everything on the outside of the structure and all structures and exterior features on the ground or on a wall or whatever, signs, utility boxes, in this case, a proposed residential structure, should have the look and aesthetic of a 1940s to 1970s building and not be of modern or expressionistic design. Exterior features should be consistent and harmonious with the other exterior features within the district in terms of scale and design. I'm not going to read every word, we're just going to stick down. The second paragraph gives you the definition of modernistic architectural design and expressionistic architectural design. Again, these are features that the standards prohibit from being within the preservation district. Little section B towards the bottom of the page, colors on exterior features should be consistent and harmonious with the district's neighborhood. There should not be any pattern color designs, etc. Building facade C, building facade should be simple and not consist of multiple sizes. Roofs should be uniform in roof features. Uneven roofs or oversized roofs should be avoided. D, design features including windows and doors should be normal scale. No large scale windows and doors, and no single architectural feature of an exterior feature should dominate the appearance of the building and structure. E, in determining this application, the use of the property, the proposed residential use, and the interior arrangements of the subject building or structure shall not be considered. And they play no role in this hearing tonight. Section 4.3 of the design standards are specific standards for new residential buildings, which should be applicable in this case. New residential building construction shall be designed with an architectural scale that is consistent and harmonious with the district's neighborhood and is compatible with the surrounding buildings and structures, which contribute to the district's special character in terms of height, form, size, scale, proportion, architectural style, and roof shapes. I want to go back to this sentence for a minute and use an example. In a special use permit hearing, one of the elements you have to determine, or one of the elements that the applicant has to prove, is whether the proposed special use, if located where proposed, is consistent and harmonious with the neighborhood. This is more nuanced, and I want to bring your attention back to the line. Is compatible with the surrounding buildings and structures which contribute to the district's special character. So keep that in mind. Then I want to turn your attention to the middle of the page, your review criteria. We just read through the design standards. The review criteria are set forth in the regulations and govern how you apply those design standards. So let's look at those for a little bit. Number one, the regulations set forth herein are intended to, insofar as is reasonable, to ensure that the exterior portions of the buildings and structures shall be harmonious. Two, in determining an application for a COA, the commission shall consider the historic or architectural significance of the building or structure under consideration. Not sure that's relevant here. The exterior form and appearance of the proposed changes and the effect those changes would have upon the other buildings and structures within the preservation district. The commission shall make no requirement except to prevent work that is incongruent with the district. Applicants shall consult the design standards, etc. The commission shall base its decision on exterior form and appearance, the design standards, and the following criteria: the setbacks, lot coverage, yards, orientation, and positioning of the building or structures. Related to that is the text amendment that the applicant secured some time ago. Materials, surface structures and patterns, architectural details, roof shapes, the proportions, shapes, positions, locations, and patterns of doors and windows, the general form and proportions of the buildings and structures, the pertinent features, including without limitation walls and fences, and then number six, nothing in the criteria or design standards shall be interpreted or construed as preventing or restricting the authority to erect buildings to a height of 35 feet in accordance with the referenced session law. So those are the standards you apply, and those are the criteria under which you apply those standards.
Okay. And again, from what I understand, for the purpose of this hearing, you will be appearing in an advisory capacity to the commission.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the applicant is represented by attorney Mr. Steve Hyatt.
Okay, very good. Next item is we have to have a poll of the commission members, and this is a poll, so we're going to, you know, have everybody, we'll start with Brittany. And each commission member shall state whether a conflict of interest exists due to direct financial benefit, bias or fixed opinion, undisclosed outside contacts, or a close family or commercial tie. Should such a conflict exist, the commission member shall recuse himself or herself from the hearing, and the commission shall excuse that member from voting on the matter. And since this is a poll, every person will have to say yea or nay, basically. So we'll start with Brittany. Any conflicts?
No conflict.
No conflicts.
No conflicts.
A comment before I say no conflicts, and that is that all of us have already discussed this property in the previous year ago. So we are familiar with the property where it is in the other amendment that went through. But that I am disclosing that openly.
Just for the record, your disclosure is in reference to the applicant's previous text amendment application and approval.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. And our awareness of that. But other than that, I have no conflict, just to mention.
No conflict.
Okay, very good. So I guess this is the start of our process, and we will start with testimony, I believe. And I guess we have to administer an oath for the testimony for this semi or quasi-judicial process, don't we?
Yes.
And it looks like I administer the oath. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That is correct. So...
you can swear everybody in at the same time.
I can swear everybody in? Okay, very good. So let's just raise your right hand.
Well, we've got Bibles.
Oh, we have Bibles. Okay, we have Bibles. All right, these are everybody who's going to be testifying. Okay, raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible, and repeat after me. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
I swear to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so
help me God. Very good. Okay. Thank you. All right. So the next item is testimony, and I believe the town clerk, Ms. Chase, will tender exhibits concerning the procedural requirements.
Exhibit number one is the Somber Properties LLC application. Exhibit two is the drawings. Exhibit three is the appointment of agency. Exhibit four is the notice of the hearing. Exhibit five is the certification of posted notice. Exhibit six is the certification of mail notice. And exhibit seven is the email of the record being sent to the applicant and commission.
Okay. Next item is our Director of Development and Compliance. Ms. White will present her report on the application.
Good evening, Commission. I'm Bethany White. I'm the Director of the Development and Compliance Department. Sorry, good time, Mr. I forgot which number I'm going to.
We're Exhibit 8.
I'm going to tender Exhibit 9 into the record, which is, this is Exhibit 8. It is the staff report from the department.
Now, we don't have that on. Okay, you're tendering it right now. Okay,
all
right.
Present.
Okay.
So many of you. Oh my God, I ran out of copies. How did that happen?
Tell you that I can share if you want. You guys share this one online.
Okay.
Yes,
sure. Okay. We're short two up here.
Short two. Take mine. I don't need
an extra one. No, you get that one.
Okay. Take mine. I don't need
it.
Yeah,
Brittany, you got one, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, so we need one.
Does Brittany need one? She's not voting right. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, keep it.
Sorry about that, guys. I thought I turned it off. And they are, it is double sided, so three pages. So this is a staff report on the application. It starts off just with an introduction to the application. The historic district is the Curie Beach Downtown Preservation District. It's also in the B1 district. And the nature of the project is construction of a new residential structure. It is per B1 district's permitted uses, 15.26.020 permitted uses, S, one family dwellings, on a lot on which the most recent use can be proven to be a non-conforming residential use, and which meets yard and setback minimum requirements for the RA1A residential district, and which the impervious ground covering surface does not exceed 65% of the lot. So now I'm going to go over the applicable sections of the design standards and the description of the project. So you want to look at the section of the design standards 4.1, general standards. I'm going to start with A, which is aesthetics. And under plan review, I found it to be a traditional residential single-family home. The colors are white hardy board siding with black trim. The facade is a simple three-story facade with a traditional metal roof. Design features are typical windows, doors, and garages with no large-scale windows, doors, or extraordinary architectural features. 4.3 is the specific standards for new residential buildings and structures. This project is proposed to be 34 feet high and 8 inches. It is three stories, it's a single family dwelling, and it'll be approximately 38 feet by 68 feet long on a typical 50 by 100 lot, which is a typical scale for the residential structure in Curie Beach. It's a typical architectural style, proportionate scale and roof design for residential single family homes in Curie Beach. Okay, and this is my staff report, which is based on the information in the application and also the plans that I reviewed. For general standards, my review showed a traditional three-story single-family home with a general look and aesthetic typical of the coastal-style homes being built throughout Curie Beach, with a general scale and design consistent with the larger coastal-style homes. There's no inappropriate modernist or expressionist architectural designs, no predominant glass elements, glossy materials, round window features, or exposed steel elements. No broad roofs or exaggerated overhangs proposed or any other unique or abnormal design elements. The colors proposed are white hardy board siding with black trim and a metal roof. There are no patterns or unique color designs proposed. The facade is simple and traditional with a typical metal roof and is consistent with other facades in the district. Windows and doors are of normal scale. There are no large-scale windows or doors proposed, and no features that are unusual or dominating in the appearance of the structure. 4.3 for specific standards for new residential buildings. And I broke through the downtown district a few times as I was reviewing this just to take a look. So I kind of did a summary of what I found so that I would know what was going to go into the rest of the district. The Curie Beach Downtown Preservation District is currently a mixture of commercial and residential structures, including the pier, pier house, arcade, restaurants, motels, rental cottages, the town's oceanfront park and community center, convenience store parking lots, along with many residential homes ranging from older small cottages to newer large three-story homes similar to the one proposed. The colors, facades, and design elements in the district range from bright, bold pastels and pastels to traditional white and grays with brick, cinder block, wood, vinyl, and shake siding. I also found various roofing materials, including metal, asphalt shingles, and membrane roofing. The lot at 125 3rd Ave South is zoned B1, which allows for 35-foot high commercial structure with 3-foot setbacks on each side and no impervious surface limit. However, the proposed structure will be built to RA1A,
which is our residential district, which allows for 35-foot high residential structures with a 20-foot setback in the front, 5-foot setbacks on the side, and 10-foot setbacks in the rear, and a 65% impervious surface limit, resulting in what could be up to a 30% reduction in scale and what you could potentially see at the same location. The exterior features of the proposed structure appear to be consistent and harmonious with the other exterior features within the Curie Beach Downtown Preservation District. So, suggestions that I have for the commission to discuss would be, we haven't heard the proposal yet. I thought they were going to go first, so excuse me if I repeat what's about to be proposed. But exterior features not presented, such as landscaping, fencing, hardscapes, exterior lighting, and accessory structures. And if the commission decides to approve the application, I suggest the following conditions. That the applicant receive prior to commencement of the work all other required permits. That any revisions or deviations to any portion of the as submitted work shall be submitted to the Department of Development and Compliance for review and approval prior to installation or construction. And that the details and specifications for the following be provided to and approved by staff prior to installation of construction. And by staff, I mean myself. You know, I figured if I ever have now. A, landscaping, B, hardscapes, C, fencing, D, gutters and downspouts, E, exterior lighting, F, house numbers, G, mailbox, and H, accessory structures, if any. And those are just items that should be considered as part of the COA process. It could be a minor COA, but they're just things I haven't seen yet on the plans. So we don't need to come forth another hearing for those items, but I propose that it be considered as a condition that they make sure they run it by me before they do those items.
Okay. I'm sure we'll have questions of you, but according to our order, the question should wait a little bit.
This is the time to
ask. It is, okay, because...
I would like to make a comment.
Yes.
Ms. White correctly points out that the things, and they may be considered when the applicant makes his presentation, like Ms. White, I'm not sure. But she references twice landscaping, fencing, hardscapes, exterior lighting, and accessory structures, and includes those in the proposed conditions. Those are, without a doubt, exterior features that fall under the scope of the COA regulations. So if they're not presented and we got to get to them later, we can. It does seem appropriate to me to handle that as a minor COA.
Yeah. I mean, it can be, as far as I'm concerned, it could be considered as part of the, if we were to move forward with this, it could be considered as part of this as long as it was brought forth in the planning process for the building permit.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. I just think it'd be clean and in strict accordance with the black and white provisions. I have no problem looking at those things later if they're not addressed tonight. But I want them looked at in accordance with the regulations so that would require a minor COA, which does not involve the commission. And we can certainly draft language for that.
So, Bethany, two things. So, one, had that information been requested and yet not yet provided?
Some of it, and we provided some of it, but it's very early in the planning process stage, so I think some of those elements just hadn't really been kind of written down or planned. We did request that the color and things like that be told to us so that we could move forward with that. But I think some of the smaller things...
We're happy to discuss it.
Yeah, it certainly would be much more comfortable, I think, for us to have a clear picture of all of the exterior elements that we're supposed to be considering. Then the second, it almost sounded as if it was like a concession to build to RA1A, when isn't that the new requirement? Mm-hmm. If we're going to build residential in this...
Yes, that's the text. They must, if they were to build a residential structure,
yes. Yeah, so, again, just want to clarify, that's, per the new requirement, they have to do that.
Right. But they could, with that lot, build a B1 structure.
Yeah.
And that requirement was something that the applicant saw and received approval for. so I'm sure they're aware of that.
Yep.
Okay. Is the since we're asking questions now, a little bit out of order than what we were given. And last time we had a COA, you put the fear of God in me because I deviated a little bit. So I'm being very careful this time.
Are you referring to the changes you made to the documents?
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, we do have a lighting ordinance, and I notice exterior lighting is one of the issues. Are they aware of our lighting ordinance?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
They
will become aware then. Okay. All right, very good. Okay.
I have.
Sure, let's just go ahead.
I just want to make sure they've been exempted into the IRA 1 section. They'll, from this time on, they'll fall under the heading of requirements.
That's correct.
RA1.
It will go through the requirements of the RA1A district, which basically in regards to setbacks and impervious surface.
Yeah, I just didn't want to have something happen to downtown and all of a sudden they got to do something.
Yeah.
Maybe
they had to do something.
We're good.
So, yeah, we made the change that if residential, then yes, they have to comply with RA1A.
And the dimensional requirement that they got state text amendment. Regulations for B1, which incorporated the residential setbacks that we're dealing with tonight. So it's all code at this point.
Good. Okay, Beth, on one of the drawings, I don't know if you'll be able to answer the drawings or they'll have to answer, but drawing A5, it shows stainless steel stair rails. Is that typical of the 1940 to 1970 building design?
Well, I can't really answer to that. I tried to Google 1940s and 70s design. It's difficult. So what I found as more of a modern, I don't want to say modern because that's a bad word in our design standards, but the updated version of a coastal traditional home. So one of the examples that I saw today was kind of up how the hotels are all updating now, and the Seabirds are with their black metal railings and mm-hmm. things like that. I think it's kind of consistent with that. It's more of just a style.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think the Seabirds is a pretty good example of that. I'm sure you've all seen the updates.
Yes, I've seen that. You've had the benefit to go out and look, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then.
We might have another question. Do we know the color of the roof?
I think in the picture, well.
It'll be a Galvalum 26 gauge Galvalum exposed fastener. That's pretty typical. Mm-hmm. Everything
typical,
on
like silverish gray.
So it's going to be silver in color?
Yes, sir.
Silverish gray.
Doesn't have a high gloss, just very matte. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and Bethany, again, I know.
Similar to the Oceanfront Park stage facility.
Exactly.
I know, had we gotten perhaps the presentation up front, maybe some of this would have already been addressed, but how large is this home as compared to neighboring homes in that area?
It actually has a pretty similar in scale three-story home right next to it. On the other side, like I said, the B1 district varies very much. there is a couple of homes that are to that scale in the B1 district. There's also a few homes that are just still the small cottages.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of varies. But yeah, there's a few of them that are at that same scale.
How large is this home?
It's going to be three stories and about, 4,000.
So it's a big house.
Okay, yep.
That includes the garage area, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
a livable space, a heated space would be what, 3,500 or so?
It's somewhere close to that, yes.
Okay.
And my second question is the last drawing SP, is where all of the words are. And sometimes you find a lot of stuff hidden in there as to the details of what something's going to be. And it was, and I couldn't read it. Once you make it big enough on the screen, you can't read the words. Did you have a chance to look at that sheet? SP, the last one.
I've looked through the plans. I'm not 100% sure which particular detail you're talking about.
I can't read it. That's
sure
this is this page right here.
I'm sure
yeah.
Okay. If I could interject here, it might actually make more sense to stick with the order as given to me by the attorney, which allows for the presentation before questions, because a lot of these questions perhaps can be answered by the president.
And you can come back to Ms. White as long as the hearing's open. You can ask anybody the questions you want to ask.
Is that okay with everybody? Hear the presentation first? Okay. Because I think we're asking questions that might be dealt with. So next item is the applicant's attorney will present evidence in support of the application. And if you could introduce yourself at the stand, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Steve Coggins. I'm the attorney for the applicant, Aaron Orlando, who is submitting the application on behalf of the owner of the property, Sombra LLC. One of the questions was resolved, what is the relationship between them? Mr. Orlando, Sombra is a small member LLC, of which he is the managing member and in control of the company. So he is, as an individual, is pressing for this application on behalf of the LLC that owns.
When you say a small member, is that a single member?
I believe his wife may also be a member.
Okay.
They're 50-50, and he's the manager.
Okay.
I think to make sure the record's clear at this point, Jim, I believe we've got 8 exhibits that have been tendered, and we would move them for admission to the evidence and to the record. And given that the way the ordinance is written, there has to be some indication that a home can be built in the historical district of residence only if there was a prior use of residence. And I do have a photograph of the old triplex that was there that became storm worn and ultimately had to be removed. And I would move this for as exhibit 9 and tender this for you.
Thank you.
So that makes, I think that makes clear that we're appropriate under the ordinance for this application. Yeah. And of course today that is an empty lot.
This is the 1940s to 1970s look.
Can't go that way. For lots of reasons.
Yeah.
I have prepared a slideshow, if you would, improvement on this, a PDF, where what I've done.
Would it be appropriate to submit that as a exhibit also, the slide?
It would indeed.
Okay.
I suppose that would be an exhibit.
Yeah,
we can. At 10, okay. I'll walk you through it. But what I'd like to do is to hand up to you Exhibit 11. And this is to the point that your advising counsel made, it was well put, is to take the design standards and to try to, as far as possible, tie aspects of the proposed project to what is actually in your historic district. I'll start by saying that I don't read anything within the standards that's within this project that's expressly excluded by it. Your historic district, I must say, is quite a hodgepodge in the collection of buildings of an extremely wide variety of shapes, sizes, interesting juxtapositions with each other. It's really a marvel and I think a reflection of the unique history of Curie Beach. But what I have done is that you'll see, and I'm getting ready to hand this up, is the Exhibit 10.
This is Exhibit 10?
Yes. And it's basically a table. And it talks about very key features of the proposed project and ties it to similar features found within the historic district itself. Not Curie Beach as a whole, within the historic district itself. You'll see those features are the metal roof, the type of siding, which in this particular case is hardy plank, but looks like wood. It's a 2+ story structure. Its color is white. It's got black trim, and it's going to have a covered porch with railings. There are different aspects of vertical height within the same structure instead of just one uniform height, like you would see, for instance, with a flat roof. And you have external stairs leading up to the main leading up to the main entrance with open treads. Okay, those are features I think that are prominent over the residence, and I just wanted to assure you that it fits within structures that are located within the historic district. Could we bring up the
yes, you ready for it?
Yeah, I am. Let's go to page one, which is 121 Atlantic Avenue. Interestingly enough, this is the first thing that appears. And this, by the way, all these structures are listed in the inventory of the,
before the
that was compiled by APC. This commission. And that is all available and online. This is a two-story home on Atlantic Avenue. It has a metal roof. It is three stories. And it has hardy plank siding, which meaning it's solid. It's concrete. If you notice, it looks very much wood. And let's see. So you've got the siding, and you see aspects of white, okay, that faces Atlantic Avenue. Predominantly, it's green. Okay, there are aspects that are white that actually face it. And then you see these porches here that are covered porches with railings, and that is all along, for instance, the rear of the proposed project here. You have different vertical elevations to add a sense, if you would, ornamentation to it. So unlike a flat roof here, you have these types of roof things that are there. Okay? And of course, there are external stairs on the side. Then we can go to page two, if you would. Okay, this is 127. I'm sorry, next one's on 137 Atlantic Avenue. And what is common there is the aspect of the covered porch. It's not like our structure very much at all. It's small and it's a flat roof, but it does have this covered porch aspect, which is a recurring theme here in Curie Beach. Let's go to page three then, where we've got 109 Fort Fisher Boulevard. Now, this is really interesting in the sense that what you see that it shares is the kind of siding here that's involved, all right? It is white. It has a covered porch, different verticality, different roof lines here, and external stairs that go up. And what is really interesting is what a thing that I think that our proposed project is a tribute to. A recurring thing you see throughout the historic district is you note this. You have this plain kind of a blocky-like surface right here. But it's made interesting because you have a recessed part that behind it, and it has that covered porch over it. That adds, if you would, a decorative type of aspect to it. And the project, if you look at the front elevation of the drawings, you'll see as you come up into this house, this part here is indeed recessed and juxtaposed to the white plain front part. So in keeping with that aspect of the historic district. Let's go, if we can, then to the next page, I believe. This will be 113 Fort Fisher.
It's further.
At 113 Fort Fisher, you see the same aspect. This is again a repeated theme that I'm talking about, where you have this plane here on the outside here, standard size windows, just like with our project, and then you have this recessed area with the covered porch and with railings on that, and with stairs going on up to that. See, this is at 113. I can go to the next one. Let's go to 117. It's going to have very similar siding, okay, 117 does. It has the covered porch on it. Let's go to the next one, 121. Here with 121, we have yet a second example of a metal roof within the historic district and with different elevations of roof depending on what is the particular function, because in ours, the second floor has, I think, a larger footprint than the third floor, and so you're going to see different roof lines according to what is a particular function. And again, you've got this plain wood-like siding surface juxtaposed next to this recessed back covered porch underneath it, with the railings here for the porch. Again, that's something that we are paying tribute to with this particular project. Okay? Then we've got 122, which is next to the Pier Hotel. And you'll see that 122 there, that has a metal roof. It's got the kind of siding we're talking about. It's a two-story plus structure there that you'll see. And covered porch areas, different verticality. Okay, and this one does have external stairs that go up. All right, we'll go to the next. Again, small scale, but there you've got classic metal roof and with different roof lines on that and a covered porch feature. Okay, go to page 9. 129, this is interesting, it has additional elements. This is, I would call that 1950s modern, right? I regret to say that I'm of an age that remembers that well. It is two stories. It has different roof lines. It has a covered porch feature. It is, it has black trim and shutters and the covered porch. Again, aspects are incorporated into the project. Next, please. Then we go to the next material. This also is 7Cs. This is an example of where you have, isn't it interesting, this district where we looked at these small homes and juxtaposed against these very large structures all right next to each other in terms of scale and proportionality. Again, the siding is very similar. Two plus stories and structures, a covered porch, different verticalities, and external stairs that lead up to it. All right, let's go to the next. This will be page 10. Again, you've got the traditional covered porch. So, yes, this one looks pretty light. Right? Okay, yep. Kind of a similar kind of siding. Next, we go to another aspect here of 133. And here we have a two-story. I think this serves actually as an office and a residence. I think it's an office for the cottages on the first floor and its residence on the next floor. But it's really interesting about how the way it's designed, this unique Puritan Beach, is that you don't look at this particular building in isolation. You look at it in relative to what it is attached to, that is this cottage complex here, the different elevations that you see that prevents, for lack of a word, monotony. Hardly what you would call the minimalist design that you see in modernistic architecture. Go to the next one, Ken. And again, though, you do have the covered porch with the traditional railings, which again is part of the of our design, particularly in on the rear elevation of the proposed project. And go now to 15th page. 109 Fort Fisher Boulevard over here. And here you have the elevated porches, being ours, the frontal stairs, covered porches. And go to page now, I think 16, right? This is a continuation of the Miranda Hotel. This is the lot, where it was going to be right behind the hotel. That is the house right next door to it. And here you get, so you see a relationship in terms of, you want to see what is the relationship between buildings and adjacent buildings and whatnot. The relationship will be virtually identical to what this building is to this building here. And you will see that you've got the large exterior stairs that go up. And I believe there was a mention about steel stairs and things like that, but they will be painted. white and won't have that hard steel look about it. Okay?
Well, not the stairs, the actual...
I'm sorry, the railings themselves.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'd like to speak on that, just to clarify the handrails.
This is Westcott?
Yeah, sorry, Westcott, yeah, over at W3 Build. That was a note that was missed on the drawings. They are going to be of white nature, either, you know, a powder-coated white, okay, or a wood-painted white. So the stainless steel cables, that's not of concern for them. We are looking at a wood white or a powder-coated white. We just got to weigh the cost.
Okay.
And what is interesting, you see here, for this particular home, that's right next door to what we are building, very similar in size and design, is that you'll see it has the slightly covered porch area with these railings here, and that's going to be the effect of the view from the rear of this home as well. You'll see on here that you've got different roof lines here for different functions that then add some interesting aspect of it here. We can go to the next one. This is another particular view of Admiral's quarters. Again, showing aspects of the covered porch with the open stairs that go up. We'll go to now page 18. And again, an aspect, and this again is directly across the street from Moran, as I recall. And again, showing the difference the scale, the size of buildings all within this unique historic district. Go to page 19. This is a view of the house that's right next to the Moran. This is the end of the historic district on the south side right there. Okay. And again, it shows the interesting juxtaposition of sizes. In traditional zoning and districts, you're concerned with, you don't want one thing to be too big or too small next to the other. To be in keeping with your historic district, you actually are trying to accomplish something that's just like the opposite. Almost like if you're standing on the level of a chessboard. You've got pieces that are like pawns, pieces that are like bishops and knights, and pieces like the king and the queen, you know, the higher. In terms of have that kind, if you would, mixture of heights to be consistent with. Go to the next page. And that's another view there, in the rear. This is a good example here of the kind of, in the historic district, that mimics the Hardy plank board effect, okay? Next. Big Daddy's is here. I'm not sure if Big Daddy's was offered to be built today, because these are actually elements of what I would call modernistic types of architecture, where you have exaggerated roof lines where that doesn't serve as a functioning porch and whatnot. But nonetheless, it's there. It's been there a long, long time. And here's a really interesting example of these cottages. I believe they go back to the World War II days, right? And I think even workers at the Dow plant may have lived there at one time. And these are now metal. And immediately behind them is within that complex, is a metal roof, two-story residential structure. And this is roughly three lots to the north of the proposed structure. The proposed structure is right down here. This is going on south third in that direction, and we're right on the left-hand side. That is the structure right, that I was telling you about. It's right behind these cottages here, and that's a good aspect of showing where the metal roof designs. Okay, this is a north third. Again, showing an interesting array of heights and sizes. I've become a big fence working on this case. I know we are certainly willing to have a white picket fence in front of the place here. This is an example of a black trim, or at least illustrating with views with shutters that you can find within the historic district. This is just about two lots to the north of the proposed project, very close by. And again, you see the juxtaposition of the recessed area here with a sort of plain wall. That's getting a little bit closer to the proposed project. Again, an interesting example of recessing in the design as opposed to a plain block. Something that breaks it up, if you would, please. All right, this is the house. It's located right next door. So the total, almost 35-foot high structure, in other words, will be right next to this. And as you go even further to the south, is this two-story residence here. It features the stairs that go up. And I'm sorry, I mixed up. I neglected to point that out in the previous one about how you have a large stairway with older treads that go up. That's actually a feature of the residence and therefore consistent with what you found within the district. So what you did have here then, if I can summarize for you like so, going through your district regulations now, based on the evidence that's now before you. It should not be of a modern or expressionistic design. No, you've seen wood and hardy plank, two stories, covered porches with railings, symmetrical lines, no exaggerations, functional roofs, bright light color, no exaggerated glass, and a white picket fence can be installed. The other general standard is that it should be consistent and harmonious with other exterior features within the district in terms of scale and design. Again, I pointed out multiple examples of 2+ stories replete within the district, wood, hardy plank, metal roofs, roofs upon roofs, layers of roofs, okay, covered porches, some elevated with railings, and a partial monolithic front that then is juxtaposed next to a recessed covered porch with steps leading up to it. We pointed to at least 5 examples of that within the historic district. The white color, the black trim, the different vertical heights, the exterior stairs of many treads that lead up to the main entrance. These are all exterior features that are consistent and harmonious with other buildings within the historic district. None of the following that are pointed out in the standards are present. Predominant glass elements, glossy materials, round window features, exposed steel elements, broad roofs, or exaggerated overhangs. None of these are present. Then the color of the exterior features shall be consistent and harmonious within the district's neighborhood. We have pointed out many examples of light colored pastel colors and about 4 examples of white. Okay? The building facades, the design criteria says they should be simple and not consist of multiple sizes. Here we've got simple frontage for all 3 stories, nothing dramatic. The roof should be uniform in roof features, uneven roofs, and oversized roofs should be avoided. Here we got metal roofs on both the second and the third floor of the same design and material. The roofs cover only what is needed on that second and third floor. And we have different roof levels, roof lines, and examples of all of these shown within the historic district in the photographs. The design features, including windows and doors, should be of normal scale. Here, all the windows and the doors are of normal scale. No single architectural feature of an exterior feature should dominate the appearance of the building structure. If there's anything I can have to say that is really good about the design of this project, there's no one feature dominant. Very interesting, if you would, collage of harmonious balancing that gives, if you would, an interesting look. It's not monotonous, but you have a total balance of each other. Nothing screams at you. Under your specific standards for new residences, and again, this is worthwhile going into, since it's the first time you've ever had a chance to apply it, an architectural scale that's consistent and harmonious with the district's neighborhood. Well, I don't know how you get more consistent with what's right immediately next door to you. Okay, and that is the scale of the two-story building that's at South 3rd at K Avenue, and the two-story concrete blockhouse, two doors right, to the right here, consistent with that scale. It's also consistent with that residence that's right on Atlantic Avenue, right on the ocean front, to the northeast. And compatible with all the surrounding buildings and structures would contribute to the district's special characteristics in terms of height, form, size, scale, proportion, architectural style, and roof shapes. For size, on pages 1 and 22 is an example of that. The scale on pages 1, 9, 10, and 22. Proportion, if you look at the different proportionality, the one on page 13, the style on page 13. The recessed effect on pages 17 and 18, and the different roof levels as I've illustrated. That ties in every single one of the design criteria. I think it was probably well, unless you have questions for me now, if we could have the builder address some of those factors that was brought to your attention by staff, that is, exterior features such as the landscaping, fencing, hardscapes, exterior lighting, and accessory structures.
Steve, can we label that PowerPoint at Exhibit 11 and you get a copy of it?
No, it's
already 10.
And I have the copy of it. Mm-hmm.
What's the table, what number you did?
That was 11.
The table was 11.
Thank you.
And I have a copy.
Thank you, yes. Again, Westcott Butler with W3 Bill. And going through some of these things, I just want to clarify. The square footage was, I went back and looked at the drawings, 4,055 heated for those floors. And then again, the handrails, that was just missed on the drawings. The client does want the white. Standard handrail out there. A couple of things, the hip roofs, if you noticed on a lot of what Mr. Steve showed today, a lot of hip roofs, a lot of flat roofs coming off the front. I feel like that the designer kept with that Pure Beach theme. And then, of course, white windows, black windows, having some trim, that's definitely a large part of making something not so monotonous with one color. And you see that a lot down here, the different colors in the windows and the color of the building. So I think, as far as landscaping is a minimum. I think there's, I've seen some of the work that we've done, very minimal down here. The lot does sink down, so I think the town's criteria, I have to raise the lot to begin with, so there will be a retaining wall that abuts the building behind us, which is the hotel. So we will have to raise that lot up and flatten it out. So we'd like to do a white picket fence around that property line there because the public is using that area, the parking lot. I think the white picket fence works well with it. And then the gutters and downspouts, I'll get with you on those. Typical what we do, we pick up the entire impervious surface and then we tuck it in underground with drainage that has pop-ups that pop up out at the road. So that's not untypical of what we've done in the past with the town of Pure Beach. As far as the exterior lighting, it's minimal. On the porches, we'll have a couple of can lights and some ceiling fans that will not have lights, I would imagine. And then on the front, we'll have a couple of sconces at the entry door, and then maybe on each side of the garage door. Other than that, there's not a lot of lighting. We're not doing up lighting. It's very minimal.
No light pollution.
No light pollution.
Okay.
Of course, these guys are planning on using it. It'll be with them. They don't want that either. And of course, mailbox and house numbers. Typical mailbox, typical house numbers. Pretty squared up to meet postal code. And then any accessory structures, there are none. So we'll have our air handler units on the outside of the building, an outdoor shower. Other than that, there's nothing accessory building.
Okay.
You said you were going to raise the lot. Will you be raising it any higher than the neighbor?
It will be higher than the neighbor because we're not allowed to drain onto neighbor's properties. So right now, our lot is lower than the road. So everything that comes from the road drains down into the back of the hotel. So we have to raise that up.
Yeah, that lot is currently a hill. It's, I don't know if you've seen it, but there is already a retaining wall on the back end of it, but it's clearly not the functional. I'm sure the water, you can tell that the neighbor's fence has already been busted in from the last flooding event, so I think whatever, he will have to do some things to the grade in order to improve upon that, for sure.
A lot of lots here in Curry Beach, the road is higher than a lot, and you have that flooding where you're flooding onto your neighbor, they're complaining, they're calling the town council, and I think the fix was we have to kind of level it out. Pushing that water back to the road and letting, the town and the stormwater, if there's any in that location or future, would be able to pick it up. That alleviates dumping onto the neighbors.
Okay, does anybody have questions of what has been presented? Is there anybody else who is planning on speaking or presenting?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I have one thing.
Sure.
And this is really a question to our council. Attorney Eldridge, in the 4.1 general standard, Section A, it talks about the features should have a look at aesthetics of a 40s to 70s building. But then it goes on to say that the exterior features should be consistent and harmonious with the others in the area. Much of the evidence presented was really trying to show that it's consistent with other buildings, but not but some of those buildings have nothing to do with the 40s to 70s look in particular.
I think you have to read that 40 to 70 reference next to the next phrase, which is modernistic or expressionistic. I think you read those two together. Mm-hmm. The design standards would emphasize the former and prohibit the latter.
So the consistency with other properties.
With other properties that contribute to the special character. There are some properties in there that don't. But remember when I was reading the design standards that we focused on that one sentence about being consistent and harmonious, not with the neighborhood, like in a special use permit, although I think there's been a presentation that it is, but also similar consistent and harmonious with the other structures within the district which contribute to that district's special character.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Which, of course, is why I focus so hard even on very small structures that were clearly 40s and 50s, 60s, and compared to those elements.
Commissioners, have any questions of anything? Anybody?
I do not.
No.
Okay. Then.
You turn to your key issues and the worksheet attached to the key issues and work through the worksheet.
Find the worksheet here.
The first page says key issues and worksheet.
There it is, okay.
So you have it?
Okay, yes, I have it. So
I think we can start with you can go down to nothing. You can start
do we need to specify or I mean we've confirmed 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Correct.
Okay. So right now we have before us a worksheet. They're the key issues and then the worksheet.
Page 25.
This right here.
Yeah.
Okay. You need it up on the screen to find it?
Got it.
Now, I do have a question. As we go down and I look at the worksheet under 4.1A, 4.1B, this is our worksheet, but are these also findings?
The worksheet is how you're going to make the findings.
Okay, so...
Start with number 6 and you'll see how it works.
Right, right. Okay, so under 4.1A of design standards, the exterior features of the project are not modernistic or expressionistic in their overall design.
We discuss that now?
Well, okay, these are findings. Do we discuss it or?
You're going to reach a consensus on whether it is R.
Okay, so we're going to reach a consensus. Okay. Very quickly, if we can't reach a consensus, do we do a vote?
No, just try to reach the consensus.
Okay. All right. Is there a discussion about item 6 on our worksheet?
Well, the only item I had was the steel cable, and that was resolved. So I believe that it is not modernistic or expressionistic. So that's my feeling.
Agreed.
I agree.
Is there a consensus on this? Okay, very good. Item number 7.
R-not is the consensus.
R-not.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 7, under 4.1A of the design standards, the project's exterior features are or are not consistent and harmonious with the other exterior features in the district in terms of scale and design. Discussion? I mean, that certainly was a major part of the presentation.
Right.
Is there a consent?
They are consistent. I mean, it was shown to us on 40 items that are consistent.
Okay. Is there a consensus on that?
I agree.
That it is consistent and harmonious?
Yeah.
Everybody? Okay. Item number 8. Under the design standards, the proposed colors for the project exterior features do or do not utilize pattern color designs.
That's 41B. A tricky wording question.
Well, try to prevent zebra stripes and things
like
that.
For example, there should not be any pattern colors.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's good to not have them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people don't put zebra right. signs or polka dots and that sort of thing.
So I think they do not. This design does not utilize pattern color designs.
Okay. Is there a consensus on that one too? Okay,
yes.
So do not. Number 9, under 4.1C of the design standards, the project's proposed roof is or is not uniform.
So it would be is.
Okay, so is there a consensus that it is uniform?
Is.
It is uniform, okay.
With what?
With other commensurate housing in the area.
I'd say no. Except for Atlantic Ave, that's the only one. And that was done...
I think it's with respect to the design itself, not in comparison to the properties. You may want to ask Mr. Coggins or the builder to clarify what is meant by uniform.
Well, before the, let's go read 4.1C, which actually says roofs should be uniform and roof features, uneven roofs, or oversized roofs should be avoided.
Okay. Yeah, if you read those two together, uniform would be the opposite. Mm-hmm.
Respect to our home, it all has hip roofs like a lot of the homes in the historical district, and it also has the metal roof like a lot of the homes in the historical district.
And I think you said the overhang is only to cover the area that needs to be covered, so it's not oversized.
That's correct. It does not hang out.
Again, the issue here is that some modernistic type of houses can have very oversized or odd roofs that we're trying to not have here.
Yeah, so what,
Yeah.
Why don't we let Tony voice his concern here?
If we approve this, what wouldn't we approve? Isn't that the objective of the preservation committee, to keep it small? I mean,
You can only judge this case on the specific facts as presented by the specific evidence for this specific application and property. Mm-hmm. You're not making a decision that sets a precedent for other properties, because each quasi-judicial decision in a COA process has to be specific to the property and the facts presented at that hearing. But a good example was when they showed you the roof on Big Daddy's, how that has some expressionistic design elements to it, and this one doesn't. But I think you need to focus on this one, not what might happen in the future.
But what is your specific concern?
It just doesn't fit with the whole downtown area. I mean, except for...
The building or the roof? We're referring to the roof now.
No, I'm referring to the whole look of it.
Yeah, that's... Okay, so... with respect to the roofs, it says roofs should be uniform and roof features, uneven roofs or oversized roofs should be avoided.
Is that uneven?
I mean, it certainly has some architectural characteristics, but I wouldn't call it oversized or
what's
modernistic.
What's this right here? What's the difference between that and that?
That's a little bit uneven.
I want you to think about those 20 properties that they showed with all different types of roofs and how there is a consistent selection of roofs that are similar to the roof design in this particular project. Again, the applicant or his attorney may want to speak to that.
Even the smallest homes with no roofs that we showed you have different roof lines and different heights.
Then why was it put in here?
I think they were trying to keep away from exaggerated roofs.
It's exactly
there are some very exaggerated roofs in modern designs.
Those are all functional hips to cover heated square footage that of the shape of the house. It's not.
There's only one place that I'm talking about. It's not the whole thing.
Okay. I'm not sure.
What do you say? One.
Just right there.
What drawing are you on?
The
page 33.
Yeah. You have deviations in the roof line.
The elevation. Yeah, looking at the elevation on the. He's referring to this.
This one of them.
The unevenness of that right there.
So it's this flat
this
section.
Right? Looking from the back.
This is where this roof is lower. If you go to page 34, you'll see how that
is. Like, you're looking from the back. That roof ends before that. That's like this.
It's all functional. Like go to 36.
This is
architectural 101, when you have a different segments bumping in and out, it's not a square building, so you don't have three or four hips going in together, and all those layover sections.
If you guys are fine with it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, we're not resetting expectations. I mean, we're kind of living with what exists and making sure this is harmonious, you know, with other properties in the district.
So do we have a consensus under number 9?
Before you get a consensus, I'm looking at something here. This would be an example of an exaggerated roof.
Okay.
You know, and which I did look, exaggerated roof lines right there. So.
An A-frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, an A-frame would be an exaggerated roof.
Into that nature. Hmm.
Okay, so I think we have a consensus for that.
Standard.
That would be 9, and it would.
That'd be 9. That is the proposed. You'd almost like to say, let's put it this way, the project proposed roof is uniform and does not represent an oversized roof. Okay, item number 10, under the design standards, the proposed design features of the project, including windows and doors, are normal to scale.
I agree with that.
I agree with that. I did have one question, though, because a lot of the examples have shutters, either real shutters or fake shutters on the windows, and I notice this does not have any shutters. Is that harmonious or consistent? Because I was looking specifically at a lot of
there
the...
There are shutters and there are those without.
There are those without shutters, okay. Is there a consensus for number 10?
Yes.
As it is normal scale. Okay, so it is R of normal scale. Mm-hmm. Number 11, the proposed exterior features of the project are or are not dominated by any single architectural feature.
Are not.
There's a consensus on are not. Okay. Number 12, under the design standards, the project is or is not designed with an architectural scale that is consistent and harmonious with the surrounding buildings and structures that contribute to the district's special character in terms of height, form, size, scale, proportion, architectural style, and roof shapes. This is a tough one, and I think that's probably more than what you're talking about. This is a large project, and you know, right next to it, there is one that is large, and obviously the historic district was overlaid onto a district that already had some buildings in it before it was a historic district. And so we're kind of working from that particular perspective here. This is a large scale building.
I make two comments.
Sure.
I think the applicant's attorney shows you several instances of large scale buildings.
Yes.
And also, I want you to harken back to the review criteria, which is also included in the design standards, that anybody in B1, as long as it's consistent, as long as it meets the other COA elements, anyone can build 35 feet.
Right. That's 4.1F.
Right, but I just want to make sure that everybody on the commission knows that this district is relatively recent, and there are a lot of buildings that were built prior to this district and the regulations associated with it.
That's correct.
Okay. And so you will see this type of issue.
Yeah, and so we live with that as opposed to thinking that we're going to be able to make corrections to it.
Right, we can't.
I also want you to focus on that word contribute. You can, it is a hodgepodge, and you can take out the ones that don't really fit, but the question is, does the scale and design of this particular project contribute to the look and feel of the district that you designated for preservation purposes? You designated that district for preservation purposes to keep certain features out.
Yes, no doubt about it.
The question is, does this project have features that are consistent with your intent and purpose?
The evidence shows, for instance, a contributing large two-story residential feature at 209 K Avenue, which is before you on the 25th page. Also, is contributing the two-story residential feature that's at 133 Fisher Boulevard.
What was the first one you called, page one?
Yes.
That was Atlantic Avenue.
121 Atlantic Avenue. I'm just trying to get at least three.
How does this fit with this first paragraph?
Bethany, do you have... In terms of the scale, because now we're talking about scale and that sort of thing, what is the staff's opinion regarding scale compared to other buildings within the district?
Well, I think that, like you said, it's a hodgepodge. So, I mean, I looked at all the residential buildings in the B1 district, it's everything from tiny cottages to two-story to three-story level homes. So there are several examples of the same scale type of home, but it is one of the larger scale homes.
But it's not prevented from being that large. It specifically allows 35 feet.
Yeah, there's not much to prevent that.
The height is fine. I'm just wondering about
so
the
large
footprint.
Yeah.
So they didn't have the floodplain. They didn't have the floodplain.
And this is within the appropriate footprint for the R1 A1 district?
Right.
Now, do we consider this house because it was done before the HPC was. So if we consider this house, then we have to approve every house that comes in here.
Well, no.
You have to look at that house and take the design features of that house and figure out how they contribute to your district and ask if this proposed project is harmonious with that. It doesn't have to be verbatim.
The preface of this, the first paragraph in this, how does this fit into the first paragraph?
Can you read it? Because I don't see
it. But Tony, in order to fit into even this discussion today, it had to be a previous residential lot. There was a previous residence here. So if there's just vacant lots, they can't build on them like they're building here. This falls into the previous residential usage.
So they get to build a house.
So I understand they get to build a house. It's the... This is a pretty, not a 1970s house to me. This is a, I'd build this house. And with that being said, what's the whole purpose of having an HPC if this isn't keeping with the look and feel of
trying to prevent this modern things? Well, I mean, that's really what it's for, to prevent modern characteristics.
Yeah, I mean, it's a contradiction.
When you look at the history, I believe, were you involved with the development of the HPC? Okay, these are exactly the discussions that we had about overlaying an HPC onto a district that had a variety of houses already in it.
And uses.
And uses. I mean, this is not a district, a historic district like the Wilmington downtown district that has all 1870 and 1850 homes. You know, we're in a different situation. And let's talk off the record on this because...
Yeah, it was basically to save what little...
Not about the history of the HPC, not anything about this particular thing.
You're up. You're just on the record, period.
Okay.
The only thing I would start to address is that I pointed to at least two examples of older buildings of that scale that if they were to be built today, it would be even considerably higher because of the floodplain ordinance requirements. In other words, two large buildings that are indeed historical and contributing there at 209 K Avenue, two-story residential buildings right behind the colleges, three lots down from this. It was built before the floodplain ordinances, and then as well, the two-story residential cottage at 133 Fort Fisher Boulevard, and again, if it had been built in the days of the floodplain, it would be on scale of the proposed residence as well as this. It was built at the time of the floodplain ordinances. You cannot divorce the intervening law that has taken place. One cannot today build those two residences I just pointed out to the scales at the level where they must be elevated. And that's one of the things that we're dealing with.
One of the things you guys are seeing here is that we have these kinds of petitions like once every couple years. So it's not something that we deal with every month. And each time there's uniqueness about it and different questions come up. So
I'll give you an example. One of the reasons that I recall when the commission was being formulated and was kind of designated historic district, we wanted to keep things out like McDonald's franchise with the Golden Arches. Wanted to keep out big boxes. Essentially, wanted to maintain a small town, family friendly feeling because that's the vibe that's given off in this town, even with the hodgepodge in that district. And so the question then becomes, is this proposed residence harmonious with the concept of a small town, family friendly residence? Family-friendly atmosphere or not, and that's really what it boils down to.
Understood.
You know, the 40s, again, that language about 40s and 70s, We may need to revisit that because that does have, you can read that in a way that's restrictive, but I really think, and I can't pronounce the Latin, it's inherere materia. You have to read those two together. In other words, 40s to 70s building, i.e. not expressionistic or modernistic like that glass house on Fort Fisher Boulevard. That's what it comes down to. Does this proposed residence fit into what we're trying to preserve as compared to somebody coming in wanting to build that big glass house in this district? That's what it comes down to.
And since we're on the record, you know, and I was involved with that pretty heavily, we have that language of 40 to 70s because this is technically a historic district, and under the kind of norms, informal norms, something has to be kind of 50 years older or older to be kind of considered historic in the state of North Carolina. And just very quickly, and this is what I was going to mention off, in the state of North Carolina, unlike many other states, planning and zoning and other commissions can have say over exterior for residential buildings. In the state of North Carolina, you can only do that through a historic district.
That's correct.
And so we have a historic district, so we have some control. We're not attempting to preserve 1830 houses here, but we do have some control over the exterior by being a historic district. And that was the primary reason why we call ourselves a historic district, because in the state of North Carolina, there's no other way to do it.
And that control, I recall, was designed to keep things out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to ask the question then becomes, does this house fit in as compared to what you're trying to keep out with the designation of that district?
And it was largely motivated by a few of the other houses up and down that would not fit in this particular district.
That's correct. Yep.
And I would certainly defer on the experience of my colleague, Mr. Etheridge here, but I do review all the appellate decisions that come down from North Carolina Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals, that when you, let's say, if you consider that this first sentence for the ambiguous in the recent days, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, juxtaposing the very same sentence where you're trying to get rid of modernistic expressionist architecture, if that's an ambiguity, the decisions are uniform that ambiguity is construed in favor of the applicant.
In favor of property.
Okay. Well, I think as far as 12, my recommendation is to mark that as is.
I would, given our historic district and what our intentions are, I would, and under the criteria that we have, I would also agree.
You would?
I would say it is designed in a way that is consistent and harmonious.
And again, it's with consistent and harmonious with surrounding buildings and structures.
Yeah. Is there a consensus over there?
I agree that it is consistent and harmonious with the surrounding buildings and structures, but I'm not sure if all of those structures contribute to the district's
in terms.
You don't have to worry about the other structures. The only structure you're worried about here tonight is the structure.
We can't analyze other structures.
Right.
There is homeless. Because they didn't make it.
Are you comfortable?
I'm not sure if it's consistent and harmonious with structures that contribute to the district's special character, specifically in terms of height and size, square feet.
You can't use height in analyzing.
You can't restrict the height. It's just going to make it really hard to restrict the scale.
The review criteria says you can't even consider that.
Yeah, the, as long as the height is under 35 feet, we're fine.
I guess it's the special character, but I think that Tony's having a hard time with and I'm having a hard time with. It's the special character part that is an issue.
That's why, Mr. Chairman, I pointed out the two buildings that are found to be that special character and do in fact contribute to the district of at least two stories, very large, and they would have been even higher if they had been built today for the purposes.
I also recall the barracks that this proposed project is going to go behind, and the barracks seem to me, in terms of roof and exterior design features, to be very similar to the project that's proposed.
If we cannot get a consensus, do we do a vote?
Yeah. Well, let me ask.
What's that?
We'd like you to work a little bit more.
Yeah, let's have a conversation.
You can ask questions again.
So, Brittany, using the house that's getting ready to be built next door, or the house that is next door to the house that's now getting ready to be built, do you feel like those houses are different?
I feel like they're similar, but I'm not sure if that house contributes.
Yeah, and that's the point I think that attorney's trying to counsel us on, is we can't worry about what that other house looks like. It's whether, because that's already there as precedent. Now we're looking at, okay, here's a house that's wanting to be built. Does it look enough like other houses?
Does this house fit into the purpose and intent of designating that district? That purpose and intent was to keep out big boxes and flashy commercials and to maintain a small town, family-friendly atmosphere. Does this proposed structure fit with that concept?
I would say yes.
You know, it's just, we may not like the fact that that's what we have to compare to, but that's there. And so anything that's there has to be used based on what we're comparing it to.
And I think the attorney made a good point, which is absolutely true when we developed this historic district, is this is, to a very large extent, an effort to keep out certain things. Okay, from the business side of things, things like the golden arches of McDonald's and that type of thing. From a residential side, you know, very modern-looking building that would all be glass and, you know, these type of characteristics. I mean, that really is an important part of what we're trying to do with this district, is to kind of exclude certain things that were starting to creep in to Currie Beach that we felt did not really work within the downtown district. But we have to write it in such a way that it's the wording is the way that it is, but really it's designed to keep out certain things. So the question is that does this fit within what we're trying to exclude? And in my opinion, it does, even though the language by our findings may not kind of reach a level of comfort for everybody. It certainly does exclude the sort of things that we're trying to. This fits within the sort of things that we typically do allow and have been allowed within this particular district, and it does not cover the sort of things that we are attempting to exclude. I mean, is that a good way to say it?
I want to throw a little smoke out there because, well, everybody's been talking. I've been looking at this report from December 2020, which was brought before town council. It's a report and recommendation for the designation of the Currie Beach Downtown Preservation and Historic District. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this, Craig?
I wrote it.
Okay, well, I wasn't even here at this time.
Okay.
But I know it exists. And on the bottom of page 5, it pulls from the land use plan of the time, land use plan part 2, section 2, the goal statement, page 100. Currie Beach desires to ensure that future development will be consistent with the historic small town nature of the community and that big box residential and high rise development will be avoided. Now that seems similar to what you're saying, Tony, that the big box residential should be avoided. Now I agree with all, we already have one right next door. It's been allowed in the past. We have to be similar to what's there.
I think they're talking about apartments and multifamily big structures. Again, the criteria says you cannot be concerned with that 35-foot requirement. I don't think this is big block residential. This is single-family residential that fits within the session law's 35-foot boundary.
And big box to me is like the sort of thing you have in Carolina Beach also, where they're just boxes.
Or Wilmington.
And there are architectural features on this particular proposal, I think, that that are interesting, you know, and don't classify as a big box.
It has character.
It has character, yeah. Yes.
I agree.
But not character in a modern sense.
Right.
Let's get back to number 12 and see if we can reach a consensus on this.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about number 12 and trying to work that out. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, has been proposed, and that's what's being discussed.
Yeah. And since we can't take a vote, we got to get a consensus. So let me just do kind of a straw vote then. Consensus that it is. I would say is too, even though I recognize that it is larger than perhaps I would like to see there, but I think it is based upon what we have to look at.
Yeah, I think is obviously with all the reservations we've talked about.
Is.
I would say is, but I would prefer if that sentence ended with structures and didn't include the rest of that statement.
It is. Okay, all right. So we do have a difficult consensus on number 12, but it is a consensus.
Let's stop for a minute because we're finding facts. Ms. Evans, you want to cut it off that you don't want, you want to cut it off with after character? Is that where you...
I think just after structures, right?
I mean, that... It's just my personal opinion.
I'm just trying to figure out where you want to cut it off at the structures or characters.
Yeah, just structures.
All right, thank you. All right, number 13, please.
I'm sorry, what did we cut off on this one?
After structures, the rest of that sentence.
So that contribute.
Third line down.
Just delete it.
I see, okay. Is it, since we're talking consensus, is that okay with everybody? Is to... Have under 4.3 design standards, the project is designed with a architectural scale that is consistent and harmonious with surrounding buildings and structures, period.
Yeah. I think that takes out a lot of the issues that we're having by deleting that.
Yeah, but how can we just delete that? It's in our design standards. We're supposed to agree to the design standards. You can't just pull out words you don't agree with.
These are findings of fact, and if you go down to 13, wrapped it up pretty much. I think if you can, I'll be drafting a decision based on your findings. You're not coming up with the exact, it's not a text amendment where you're agreeing, where the decision making board is agreeing on the exact language. I'll take care of the language.
Okay. Number 13, the project does or does not comply with the design standards.
And I would propose that it does.
I agree. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Based upon the above findings and majority vote, now it's a majority vote. You said we couldn't vote.
Well, first of all, I want you to close the hearing.
Yes. Okay. I was reading that.
There's no further questions.
Okay. So these are the findings of fact. Are there any other facts? Do we have to stick to these facts, or can we add other facts in there?
I would recommend that you stick with what you got.
Stick with what we got. Okay, I have a bunch of facts, but that's okay. All right, so we will, is there a motion to close the hearing?
I so make that motion to close the hearing.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
do
second?
I do.
Second.
Okay. All right, decision of the commission. Okay, so this is now we're dealing with number 14. And... We can, remember, we have a couple different options on this. We can vote to approve or not approve, or we can to approve with conditions.
And with respect to conditions, you might want to have Bethany's report in front of you, page 2.
Yep. Then I would suggest that in addition to the items that Bethany's provided, that we also make reference to the handrails, just given that that was missed on the drawing.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion then?
So I'd make a motion that as conditions to the approval, we include everything in Bethany's write-up. This would be...
Excuse me. Let's have a motion to approve the COA with the following conditions. you don't want a motion for the conditions if you, you may not approve the COA.
Let's have discussion then on the
conditions.
On the conditions.
Okay. So I think the recommendation will be that all of Bethany's points would be conditions that that be provided to Bethany to approve as a minor
COA,
so it doesn't have to back come back to this commission, with the addition of handrails
being white in color.
The handrails being white in color.
White one? Not white in color. Okay.
White in color, okay. Okay, so, so the motion would be to approve the application for the COA subject to the following conditions that, and let's go ahead and read them out. I have, I can't find that right now. Oh, here it is. That the details related to landscape, hardscapes, fencing, gutters and downspouts, exterior lighting, house numbers, mailbox, accessory structures, if any, and exterior handrails being painted white, be reviewed and approved by the, let's get the official name.
You had it at the bottom of the other page.
Oh. Director of the Development and Compliance Department as a minor COA. That'll be the motion.
Yeah, but
so, okay.
I know they're going to do it, but they're really not handrails. What are they called?
The cable.
The wire cable is going to.
Yeah, we're not doing.
Because the handrail is the thing on the top.
Yeah, we're going with a wood.
Either a white.
They're not balusters. I mean, if they're up and down, they're balusters. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not pickets. It's kind of a horizontal.
But it's not cable.
It's not cable.
It's not cable. It's not cable. We don't want cable. Right. It was just something that was overlooked. We won't.
Yeah.
I
can understand you're going to do it.
You see them a lot now.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll change my condition to being painted white and approved by the director. Because she has the right to look at that and make sure it's consistent.
Okay. All right. I second that motion.
Okay. Are there any further discussions? I know this is painful, but all right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay. Okay. So now we return to an open session. I think we have to have a motion for that, don't we? Or can I just... Oh, we closed the hearing. Okay, so return. We're in open session. Is there a motion to adjourn? Well, actually, before we have a motion to adjourn, since this is formally a HPC meeting, let me ask Beth, what does our future meetings look like? I mean, since this is a general meeting, too, not just this.
We won't have another meeting unless something comes before the board. Otherwise, it'll be January 2026. Mm-hmm.
January 2026, unless something comes before the board. Okay. All right, good. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Okay.
And/or
motion,
second.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye. I guess so.